On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Joe Gibbs.
And you listen to Redskins Talk with JP Filling.
What up, everybody? Redskins Talk Podcast. It's been a fun weekend, and you got a fun podcast coming your way. I wrote a story, my five bold predictions for the NFL draft. I thought it was enjoyable. Pete, what say you?
I really liked it. I like when you do those lists because it's quick and you rapid fire, but there's a lot of good information in those bullet points.
And a lot of bonuses. Pete's so, here.
Arguably too many bonuses, but we'll get to that.
Mitch is on vacation, it appears, as always.
Just a world traveler at this point.
Well, I'm going to meet him in Augusta, so I get to travel a little bit to probably the coolest place on earth. But Keim is joining us. We haven't had John Keim on in a few, I don't know. I guess we had him on in Arizona, so not that long. Keim joins us to talk about bold predictions for the draft. Then we have Mike Kliss, who covers the Denver Broncos for 9 Sports out in the Mile High City. Mike does a hell of a job. He seems to break all the news that comes out of Broncos land. So we need a scouting report on Case Keenum. We've been so caught up in QBX that we haven't really dove into who looks like QB1. And you guys are going to enjoy all this. Always good to talk with Keim. Make sure you are listening to his podcast as well, which is doing really well and starting to build up a good audience. Our podcast, though, is brought to you by the good folks at Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. You guys should do the exact same thing. If you need a Ford or a Lincoln, Pete, where should you go? Let's see if you can get this.
To Oarsman Ford and Lincoln.
Of Alexandria.
Of Alexandria.
Yeah. I like those. Where are you on the Matthew McConaughey Lincoln ads?
Anything Matthew McConaughey, I am with 100%.
I was very into it until the pool one. With him shooting pool, I found a little...
Of course, they're all weird, but I just think... I mean, I could watch him shoot pool and just... envy how manly and fresh he is.
He is cool.
Yeah, he would make anything cool. He's a dream podcast guest for us. We need to somehow get
that's
that
the top of the list. If anybody has a Matthew McConaughey hook, let us know.
Perfect.
All right, let's dig in. Me, Pete, and Keim talking bold predictions, and make sure you go buy an Oarsman Automotive of Virginia vehicle. Time to bring back our dear friend, Mr. John Keim, Redskins reporter for ESPN. Keim, what's up, dude?
Hey, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. Big week for your podcast last week, John Keim Report. You had McLuhan on there. I listened. I enjoyed it. What was your biggest takeaway from talking with Scott about, you know, life with the 2019 Redskins? It's crazy. He's been gone 2 years now.
I know. He's been gone 2 years. And, like, he's still a talent evaluator, still obviously scouts things. I think one of the things that, and I've heard this before about Jay Gruden, first of all, he felt like they can still win with him. And second, he said that he was the best talent evaluator of head coaches he's been around. Doesn't mean he's infallible. Everybody, when you evaluate talent, makes mistakes. But he just felt like he was better than Holmgren, better than Pete Carroll and any of those guys he worked with because he thinks it matters to him. So that was one of the things. And then, you know, some of the quarterback stuff, I think we can all guess, like Colton Case, both he feels are good backups. Likes Rosen, would you know, trade a second and a fourth or a fifth for him. So, you know, things like that. But the Jay stuff was good. You know, some stuff on Robert, some stuff on his, you know, where he looked at his mistakes with Josh Doctson, his feelings on him, the Matt Jones question, does he regret it? Those kind of things.
Right. I really liked your interview with JP Finley and Pete Haley. Oh, wait, that hasn't happened yet.
Well, you know what? Here's the fun thing in my podcast. I actually have two other guys coming on who are going to join me. I found a very serious millennial, and I found a guy who likes to stand on tables and drink wine who does not like offensive linemen.
He loves skill players.
It's bizarro Redskins stuff.
It is.
No, Kime has... We've been trying to figure out schedules, and I haven't been able to.
It's my favorite bit going with
Kyle. I'm not sure he's trying to figure out a schedule with you.
Yeah, because my phone has not been blown up. Exactly.
But if you can download it, Pete, I'd appreciate it.
Of course, I will. You're my guy.
My only thing with Scott, and we'll move on because we got to do this draft predictions thing. There's a little bit of revisionist history,
I think. No doubt.
And the one that jumped out to me was him talking about Kirk wanting to get that done because he was a big part of the lowball contract offer. You know what I mean?
And
you brought it up later, and it wasn't worth trying to dive in back into that because you're just drudging up 5 years ago or whatever.
Yeah, because to me, I really cared about his thoughts on personnel situations and guys that he knew that he had scouted, et cetera. I remember that one. Like, I know from talking to Kirk's side, they wouldn't have signed the offer that was being discussed at that time.
Right.
They wouldn't have signed it. And then after that point, I know from conversations that Scott would not have gone to a certain point and would not have suggested going to a certain point, I should say, because it wasn't his decision.
Sure.
As far as the money goes. But, yeah, he would not have gone to a certain point with him because he didn't view him that way. Yes, I mean, this league is full of revisionist history by a lot of people.
Hell, this world is full of revisionist history. It's not confined to football.
Absolutely.
All right, so I want to get into – I wrote a story, my five bold predictions for the NFL draft. This is a blatant ripoff of a Tandler story that he always used to write. Tandler loved these crazy bold predictions, and he allowed himself this caveat. It's a bold prediction. It doesn't have to come true.
Yeah, when he said Josh Johnson would catch like 12 touchdowns.
Yeah, right. How was my Taylor impression right there?
That was strong, yeah. Just a perfect amount of squeak and high pitch.
I might have found one I can finally do, unlike my Pablo Escobar, Jay Gruden attempt.
Right.
Well, the thing with Rich, too, because you have to picture the hands probably waving as he says it.
And shaking his head.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, but these are my bold predictions. I'm not locking any of these in, but I honestly think a lot of this could happen. So I'll just go, and then we can discuss each one. Pete might have some, too, that we can try to get to. John, if you have any, cool. If you want to just weigh in on the ones we have, that is fine.
I'll weigh in.
Okay, good deal. So you can read the story on my team's app. Story's up there. Here we go. Number five, and I feel very strongly about this one. They're not taking a wide receiver with the 15th overall pick. And frankly, most of the personnel guys I've talked to throughout this pre-draft cycle, there's not really a wide receiver worth the 15th overall pick. And the guys that killed it at the combine, certainly DK Metcalf, the tape isn't as good. The guys that have really good tape, the combine wasn't as good. And if the Skins are being very true to their draft board, I just don't see a wideout at 15.
I would agree with that, and I, for the exact same reason, what I've heard with that class is that there's some depth there, so you can get a guy, and that's one of the things McLuhan was saying too, but I've heard this from others, that you can get a guy in the second round and maybe even into the third who is, of similar quality, perhaps. But, yeah, I mean, when DK Metcalf blew up at the combine, I'm like, well, I better go watch some more of what he did, and not that, I'm not – what scouts are going to see are different than what we're going to see. Let's start there. So it's a basic two-sense knowledge here.
Right.
But there are certain things like, well, why didn't they ever go – why weren't they going to him a lot on the go-to situations in college? Why he was limited with his routes. Why is that? Was it the offense? Was it more about what they felt he couldn't do? There were some issues with drops. I mean, what I've heard on him, very raw route run. And I know you heard the same.
Yep.
So,
well,
you saw it in
the three cone and stuff when he just couldn't turn.
Right. So I think, but he does have an elite skill that they really would like. But I'm going to go with you on that one. And I always term offensive playmaker. That means it could be a different position, but they need to get a playmaker somehow.
I agree with that, and that'll come up later. Here is my bonus. I haven't even gone through all five of them, but my bonus bold prediction, I'm planting a flag with this
Because I don't think the one Buckeye wideout that I know you love, McLaurin, is that what's his last name?
Yes, Terry McLaurin.
I don't think he lasts until the second round. I think he goes 28-ish.
I think I know where you're going here. Go on.
You want some speed. You want a playmaker. Paris Campbell, I think, in the second round for the Skins. Another Buckeye that could really be a player. I think he's probably 2 years away. You talk about raw and route running and all that. But the speed and the athletic ability, I think they could love a guy like that.
He is a big-time playmaker, and a lot of his plays came on those mesh route concepts and crossers and all that, where you're able to, you know, stretch a defense. He stretched a defense more horizontally than vertically, and I think that's where some of the route running would come into play. His hands got better, but, man, could he run away from guys. And if, I think he's one of those guys where people are going to say, if you use him right, he can make big plays for you as he is learning. Now, you have to hope that he can get there. But, yes, I mean, he's got, what, 4.3 speed? But it wasn't so much just the speed, because sometimes you see that, but you don't always see it on film. With him, you would see it. When he got the ball, like, if he got the ball and there was an opening at all, I'm like, he's going to go.
Right.
Redskins need but mismatch
His routes have to get better. But if you can, like, if you could use him in a situation where he's not Tariq Hill, but if you can use him in a situation where you're using him on multiple different things and you don't rely on him as a just a not, you know, a go ball guy every time,
yep,
that's not going to be his game. But if you can put him in situations where that speed can flourish, yeah, he can be a playmaker.
And I also think, and this is probably a little bit down the road, I think he can play inside. Like, I think he's a slot guy in the NFL once he kind of learns the position a little bit better.
Possibly. And I think that, you know, the misnomer with the slot guys, too, is it seems like everybody's like, oh, you got to be a smaller guy there, shifty, quick. I think big guys there can flourish.
Right.
You know, because you can't get your hands on them.
Right.
You know, and so I agree. I mean, I don't like – you don't have to have this trend of only finding smaller slot guys. I just don't think that that's what you need to do. So, yeah, I mean, he could do that. I think he can do a variety of things for you because he does have elite speed.
All right, number two. This one is bold, but they all kind of start snowballing together.
Did we miss number three?
Well, no.
You started off at number five.
Oh, sorry. So this would be number four.
Yeah. Okay, and then he did a bonus one, which is, yeah.
All right.
Oh, Paris was a bonus. Okay.
So five was that they're not taking a wide receiver at 15. Paris was a bonus. Number four, I'm going in reverse order from my notes, so this is a little confusing. Forgive me. I'm not a math guy. So number four, and all of these kind of build up to want to number one. But number
and I'm going to agree with number one without even knowing.
I think we're both agreeing with number one. So number four is that three of the first four picks in this draft. So I'm saying Thursday and Friday night's picks are going to be on offense, and I think that is because there is depth at receiver, guard, and tight end, or you can even just say interior offensive line.
Yes,
but that falls off once you get to Saturday's picks, and I think the Skins know they need to get better at those positions. So three of the first four picks will be on offense. Where you at?
Yeah, I'm for the exact same reason. Listen, you look at their offense. They obviously need an infusion of talent. I think when you look at that, you say, okay, if Chris Thompson's healthy and if Jordan Reed's healthy and if Darius Geis is healthy, they could have this, this, and this. But you need to start planning as if they're not going to stay healthy. You just can't. You have to. Because we haven't seen it. Like, if they are, it's a bonus, but you have to start now transitioning too. Because, I think there's plenty of the depth in those spots. You need to get another interior lineman. I do think you need to get another tight end. And I think you brought this up in a tweet recently or something like that about the tight ends and what Jay had said at the owners' meetings. It's eye-opening. They need a guy who can help
stay
them
on the field in multiple situations,
in multiple ways. Yeah. It's been true. It's been apparent.
Cooley did such a great job of explaining all that.
He did.
In his podcast.
He absolutely, and he always does. And so, you know, but I think we've always known, like, they don't have guys who can do both things. I mean, and that, so you know that they need it. I think Cooley spelled it out in a very distinct way. And I don't have an issue. The one thing that I would say, like, that I could see might be a little bit different is if there's a defensive back, a safety, in those first couple picks that they say, you know, if they, you got to get this guy.
Like if there's somebody they love. Yeah, I agree there.
But, like, you might be able to get – there's going to be a second wave of – another wave of free agency after the draft. And then maybe in June where you can – you know, where they would have to hope they can pick up a guy if they don't go that direction.
Yeah, it would be interesting. I was just looking it up because it feels like we've been saying this team needs a little offensive help at the past couple of drafts, but they've gone pretty defense heavy. 2015's the last time they've done 3 out of 4 offensive players with their first pick. That was the Sheriff Jones Crowder draft.
That's a good nugget, I think
the last 2 years, like of their fourth round pick, they've had 8 picks in the top 4 rounds the last 2 years. I want to say 6 have been on D. So, you know, I do.
I mean, hell, we could probably name them off the top of our heads.
It looks just like 7 of 9. You got Geis and Christian last year, and then P. Ryan. So I guess 6 of 9, 7 of 9.
Okay, so yeah, it's heavy on D. I think there needs to be. I think they need to get stronger depth and more options because they can't keep losing key guys to injuries. And it's always the same guy.
Right.
Got to get better there. Right. Yes.
Yeah, it feels like that defense is one pass rusher away from, you know, becoming a top 12-ish unit, but the offense needs help kind of everywhere to bolster that depth and bring everybody up another level.
And I know you'll probably get into this later, but and I'm going to agree with what you probably think at 15 too, but if you add, you know, you helped your run defense with Landon Collins, and you can help pass rush secondary with maybe another guy somewhere in this draft,
so,
and I'm sure you'll get to that.
This is the perfect segue to my third bold prediction.
See, that's my podcast experience.
I was going to say.
You're a veteran, dude.
This is like a two-host system. This is really impressive.
At 15, and at 15, the Redskins are taking defense, and I think it'll be a pass rush.
And you're saying at 15 as in no moves up or downs?
I think they stay at 15, and I think they take a pass rusher. The only caveat I have built in is if Hockenson is there. Because I think Hockenson at 15 could really be a home run for a team that could use him in multiple spots. But I think otherwise you're trying to get what Preston Smith never quite became, which is a dependable 10 double-digit sack guy across from Ryan Kerrigan.
You want to go, Pete?
It makes a ton of sense. I just don't know if you can trust Ryan Anderson to be your starting edge rusher across from Ryan Kerrigan. I like him as the edge setter and a good hard-nosed player who kind of sets the tone on your defense, but I don't love him at all going up against tackles for 30 or 40 snaps a game. I think he's just going to get washed out too often.
Well, and the other thing I said, I think it will be an edge rusher, but if one of those linebackers fall to them or they decide they love one of these corners, I think they could go that way too. But I think edge rusher, I strongly believe defense.
Sure.
Yeah, and I would agree with that as well. I mean, that's where I would go now, because if you want an edge rusher, the best spot to get them in this draft is in the first round, because there are guys there that can help you right now. So I think, and they definitely want one. Now, I like what Ryan Anderson can offer. I think that violence, I think the attitude, the demeanor, I think he can really help against the run, but they need a dynamic pass rusher. And that's not a knock on Anderson. Or listen, they don't have that guy. I mean, Ryan Kerrigan gets sacked, but you're not going to consider him a dynamic rusher. You consider him a good pass rusher who does a lot of good things for you. But you want that speed guy if you can get him. That adds a different level to their ability there. And so I think that can only help everybody. And that can help a lot of problems. But I agree with you on Hockenson too, because he can fill exactly what we were talking about earlier, he can become that multi-dimensional tight end where you don't have to give everything away based on personnel groupings. And I think that's very important for them going forward. But you have a chance to get an edge guy.
You got
to get a guy there. Yes.
What guy at 15 realistically do you like? Because they're not going to get any of those top dudes, but Sweat and Burns and any other pass rushers, who do you like most?
It's funny because that's the group that I'm actually going to be watching today. So I've seen a little bit of those guys. But I know, Cleveland Farrell is a guy that Jay brought up like a month or so ago. Burns to me is intriguing. He's got that speed. But that's the group that I'm actually watching today.
Okay, cool.
Um, here, here's another bonus before we get to number two and number one, which kind of sync up together.
So many bonuses.
Yeah, I'm a bonus guy. I think there's going to be change at the tight end position coming. They brought in the kid Waring from San Diego State for a workout. I think they have a lot of money invested. John, your banana phone's ringing. You need to answer that. You can answer
it. Hold on. Hold on.
All right.
What do you want? Bruce, Dan, you there? Okay. Nah, I told them I'd call back.
Okay, I appreciate
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you told them they're on that you're on the pod, and they understood, right?
Well, they were already on it this morning.
True, so. Yeah.
I think there's too much money invested at tight end, and there's going to be a change at tight end. And I think maybe that could be one of your second wave of free agency post-June 1s, however that works out. But I think they're going to draft a tight end, and I think – one move that a lot of folks expected when free agency opened with Vernon Davis, either a massively restructured deal or an outright release, could still occur.
Yeah, and I mean, he's making over $6 million, counting over $6 million against the cap. And not that everything is just has to be cap-related, but he's an older guy, makes a lot of money, and at this point, and listen, his speed is still good. And so sure. His game hasn't dropped off in that area, but do you need a more multidimensional guy? I think the answer would be yes. And, you know, I think with Davis, I told earlier this offseason, like, unless you get a guy in the draft, he's going to be here. But that's the thing, is like, if you get a guy in the draft. And so I do think, and you don't forget, like, they worked out, there was that tackle, was it Jake Fisher, who was trying to become a tight end. They actually worked him out, too. So there's a definite, I think, understanding that they have to do a little bit more at that position moving forward.
Well, and I think if you didn't have a big-time talent and a big-time salary already wrapped up in Jordan Reed, maybe you could make things work differently with Vernon. You know what I mean? If you can restructure that. Because his speed is such a weapon, especially at that position. And Gruden has talked about him as one of their flyers, which really creates mismatches. But you can't have $14 million between Reed and Vernon on the books with two guys that can't help you in multiple sets.
Yeah, and the hard part of that, because he is still a mismatch when you get into certain packages, when you get those two tight end sets. But I think at that point, it's like, you know what they're going to do, most likely, and when it's Jordan and Vernon, but you can get him on those mismatches. And he had, a couple of drops out of those looks,
that were
too.
Tough.
But those were things. That's what he's done in his career too. Those drops weren't new, and they're not because of age. He dropped them. But what you look at is he was wide open. So there is still a need there. It's just he's an expensive guy at that age, at that position. So I think your thinking is accurate.
All right, number two is kind of number one. They're all in it together.
You want to just do these as a combo?
Sure. I do not think the Redskins will be drafting a quarterback because I think the Redskins are going to trade for Josh Rosen. I don't think they will have a second-round pick because I think this Rosen thing is happening, and I'm counting Rosen as the second-rounder in my math of three of the first four picks going to offense.
It all makes sense now Kyle. Are you with us? Did you catch all that?
It's another piece of the puzzle. I was just like, where is he going to go with this one? I couldn't figure it out. So, yes, I am all on board with that one. And, I know your reasoning is going to be the same. The contract is so good. Not that you're – listen, you better like the player first and foremost, right?
And I think they
and
do.
Right. And that's – I don't have many doubts on that part. And then you have to see, okay, what happened in Arizona? Well, I think you hear from enough people, it's like the system was bad, the changes there, and the line was horrible and this and that. So there's a lottery. So you go back to how was his preparation, how was his work and all that, and then you're going to go back to college. So if you liked him there, you're not going to be dissuaded, I think, by what you saw in Arizona last year because of the circumstances he was in. And, I'm all for that move because you need a guy there, and I think you'd have to look at this and say, where would he stack up in this draft class? I think he'd probably go after Murray, wouldn't you?
Oh, if you're Arizona?
If he were part of his draft class.
Yeah.
He'd be probably the second-ranked quarterback coming out.
Because there's reasons to like Haskins, but there's only one year. A lot of coaches have said that is,
Locke has been very inconsistent. He's had some good highs, some good lows. I think Rosen would be the second one for sure. And I think it's the rare intersection of value and need and ability in the player where, because of the Cardinals' lack of leverage in this thing, everybody knows they're going to take Murray, that they have to move this guy. And you know, I know Schefter over the weekend reported that people are expecting Rosen to so one thing that's awkward is that, you know, Rosen's going to be in the facility in Arizona kind of starting off-season workouts. But yeah. I still just see this thing moving. And I get that the Cardinals want to try to keep their hands open and not tip anything, and I think that's smart. But it's just how I see it playing out.
Will it happen draft night or beforehand?
I don't know. I think Bruce Allen is good at keeping trades really pretty secretive. And that's one thing that maybe is a little, you know, if you think about the Alex Smith move or the Case Keenum move, those things just happen, and they happened seemingly out of nowhere. I mean, we know that the organization liked Alex Smith before they went and got him, but there's so much speculation around this one, you almost wonder if the Skins aren't in it, but it just makes too much sense.
Yeah, the rare intersection makes it – I think it's just a no-brainer at this point, and I'm just waiting for the emergency pod to drop.
And to me, it feels like Kirk Cousins to Minnesota last year.
Right.
It made it by far was the most logical destination for both sides to get to that point. And I'm starting to feel like that this year because, like, the need here is heavy. And I know, like, other places, it sounds like the other teams, and I don't know all the other teams that would be involved. I mean, a lot of this is just speculation. And as you know, like, a lot of times what you hear isn't always accurate. So, like, I don't, you know, you hear that the Chargers and the Patriots would be interested. And that would make sense because you get their successor. But if you're Rosen,
the Chargers just pay for Tyrod? Didn't they give him a 2-year deal? And I recognize that maybe his second year is funny money.
How long are some of these guys going to play? And, like, are you really going to do that? I mean, you could also, if that's the case, maybe you just get a guy in the draft. Like, well, we'll just take our chances, you know, developing this guy because, you know, starter's not going anywhere for a couple of years. So. Right. So you get that. And then I know, like, people are always reluctant to trade draft picks. They're assets.
Right.
And if you can get,
I saw you on Twitter.
Let's say Josh Rosen were in this draft and he fell to the second round and they took him with their second round pick. What the hell would you say? You'd be popping champagne bottles because you think you got a steal. So, you know, you have to kind of look at it in those terms. If they give up the 15th, then I got some pause. It's not because I don't think he'd be worth – I think if he were in this draft and you took him at 15, you'd be happy. But I don't know that they're going to have to give up that pick. So I think that's more about negotiations and trade value more than it is what's the player really – you know, how good is he? But, the salaries, man, it makes it so – every part seems to fit the right way with him. And you're getting a quarterback – who's already been in the NFL for a year. So he's already gone through a season, preparation, looking at defenses, studying that kind of stuff. And so you're getting that. You're benefiting from that year that he would have had there. Yes, it's a new system and all that, but the ability to go through a season and preparing and facing defenses is vital. There's things he's got to work on with his game. I mean, I think he'll drive, you know, it's funny because he's almost like the opposite of like an Alex Smith where he's not going to check down all that much. Sometimes that is the best thing to do. He'll have to learn that. And, you know, what his personality, is he a first one in, last one out guy? I think that's, you know, what coaches always like. But, and I don't know the answer to that one. I don't know. But I think, like you guys both said, and I've taken a long time to say this, it makes sense. Sorry.
No, you're good, dude. It makes,
we got to fill air time, man.
It makes a lot of sense. You know, we'll see if it happens. But I like the Kirk to Minnesota comp.
And Antonio to Oakland. Just both sides make sense.
And we've been talking to a bunch of. We had C.J. Holmes, who covers the Cardinals for the Athletic last week. We're going to talk with Catherine Fitzgerald, who covers the Cardinals for the Arizona Republic, just to get a better feel.
I'm going to be talking to Josh Weinfuss, who covers them for ESPN next week.
How about that? There you go.
How about that?
Bang.
And I think it's just important that. Whatever the concerns were last year during the pre-draft process, none of that seemed to play out in the Cardinals locker room.
Correct. That's what I've heard.
And I think that's important. All right.
I just want to do three of mine real quick. We don't even have to
one
react.
More bonus.
Oh, my God. How many bonuses can one person have?
Pete, I disagree with whatever you're saying.
Okay. All right. We can just skip that whole segment. Cool.
I think we can talk about Geis, Peterson, Thompson, Samaje Perine, who Jay wanted to talk about. I still think the Skins might add a running back in the draft. And I'm talking Saturday because they got a ton of picks. And I still think they might add a tackle late on Saturday because I don't know how much they love Jerron Christian. I don't know what the hell will happen. But I think people think those positions are loaded and they won't add. I think when you get to Saturday, you really are sticking to a draft board and just seeing who you think can help you, especially once you're in the seventh round and you're talking about possible practice squad guys. Don't be surprised if another running back or tackle gets drafted. That's the end of all my bold predictions.
It's over, finally.
That's five plus what?
My next.
Really?
Bold...
How in a hurry are you, Pete?
I know.
That Pete just dropped a finally on me.
My bold prediction is
can
that
I comment
stop.
Really?
Yes.
I'll comment
you,
quickly.
John, you are welcome to comment because Pete needs to just calm down.
After last year, I think you have to, like, with that offensive line after the last 2 years, I want as much competition there as possible and as many healthy bodies as possible. And I think with running back, it's the same thing. You can paint two scenarios for running backs. One is could be very good, and one could be, the opposite. You know, what if Geis isn't as healthy? What if, Peterson's going to be, 34, 35? Thompson, durability. The flip side is if all those guys are healthy and right, it could be really good. But I'm going to get another guy just in case.
All right.
And it could be late. It's like, if those guys are great, then you're okay.
I agree. All right, Pete, it's your turn. John, before Pete goes, are there any bold predictions you want to make? Will there be pizza served in the media trailer Thursday night in Ashburn?
Oh, there'll be. They always have a good spread on Thursday night.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with that. As long as there's a meat lover's pizza, maybe what I can do is like smoke something and bring it in, but that
Let's
would take
do
too
that.
Much work. So.
Well, I might not be there Thursday, but I'll be there Friday.
So I might burn some breadsticks and bring those in, too.
Just, Pete, you bring, like, M&Ms.
Okay,
just
cool.
Something easy.
All right.
All right, you're up.
My bold prediction is I will trash these next three things, but go ahead.
Okay. Here are three quick ones. I won't give you the whole list. But number one, no trade-ups at any point in the draft because Bruce has talked about how they want to add 9 to 10 players, and they haven't really done much in free agency. And also, I think the Josh Rosen trade will kind of deplete their capital a little bit, so I don't know if they'll be in position to trade up at any point.
You're saying like in the fifth they don't move up?
Yeah, I'm saying no trades up at all. It's a bold prediction.
It's bold.
Okay, second one, no safety. They have Monte, they have DeShazer, they have Troy Apke. There's a couple free agent safeties still available. I think they'll look to fill it either in-house or with a free agent, so no safety. And number three, they're going to take an offensive lineman that leads Mitch to be so excited he has two typos or more in a tweet.
Okay, those are pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I think for me, the trade-up thing and the safety thing, they have 3/5 and 2/7. Is that right?
Yeah.
I think it's 2/2.
I think they have. I know they have 3/5.
Okay.
They have what? Yeah, 9 overall, yeah.
So I just think when you get to those late rounds, a guy's position might be safety, even if they're looking at him as a special teams contributor type person. And when you get to that late, the trades start happening on a furious scale.
It could be 2 sixes to move up to the fifth or whatever.
It could be a 6 and a 7 to move up 8 slots in the 6 to get a guy you like.
I get it, but it's a bold prediction.
I like them. Those weren't bad, dude.
Thank you.
Yeah, they like to maneuver and collect, and you can also collect more and then move back up elsewhere. So I think it's like, but I think the key would be, do they lose, along your lines, like, what is the net result of all the, the net total of picks?
Yeah, so if they go on with 9, do they leave
with 9? Because you can drop back and then get more and move up. Well, they've technically moved up, but they haven't lost picks. So I think, I don't think they want to lose picks. I think you're absolutely right. I would agree with that. The safety one is interesting because they clearly, with Monte, you don't know. Not only do you not know, what's going to happen with his legal situation, but where is he at as a player?
Yeah. Right.
Because at the end, in his rookie year, we all came back. At this point last year, everybody's thinking, they got this guy, looked really good. He should be set. And then midway through the year, you trade for Holland Clinton Dix. He doesn't play anymore, gets in trouble. Where is he at with everything? Troy Apke, I would not project him to be a starter type. I think he is a backup slash special teamer at this point. Maybe he develops. He's got the speed. But so I think you could add somebody there. But I go back to, you know, we said this earlier, and I agree that it could be after the draft. Because if you're not going to take one higher, you're going to probably try and sign a guy who can help you get through things. And that, okay, if, you know, it could be, you know, maybe a Kurt Coleman type, a veteran type, who can help you get through the year or whatever, and in case Monte can't go, in case Apke doesn't develop. So if you're drafting a safety late, well, he's not going to start for you. So you might take the guy, but he's not going to start, chances are. And so, I'm fine with that. What was the other one?
Mitch is going to have two typos or more in a tweet about an offensive lineman.
Okay, well, that's
I don't even know if that's bold. That might just be a regular prediction.
I think bold would be no typos.
Yeah.
Very fair.
Kaim, I know we got to run. You know that Mitch and I are going to Augusta. What is your bold prediction of our Augusta trip?
Mitch will somehow get on camera streaking across the 13th green.
Oh, my God.
You talk about Amen Corner.
That would be, listen, that's a freaking awesome
It's going to
be
fun.
I've got to do that one year.
All right, man. Thank you very much.
Enjoy.
Good to talk. And, hey, subscribe to the John Kime Report.
There you go. You just said it for me.
All right.
It's on all – what I haven't realized is how many different podcasts
– Oh, yeah, man.
Well, there's iTunes or Spotify, and apparently there's a lot more. So there are – it's on other places.
Yeah.
That I guess there's something called a podcast catcher where you can go, like –
Dude, there's
Google
a million things. You're never going to keep up with how many things
Welcome
there are.
To 2019 and the internet. Good to have you.
Oh, dude, it's, you know, I'm just glad that I finally got rid of dial-up last year. So.
All right, everybody listens to our podcast. You got to listen to John's.
It's kind of a package deal.
It's a very symbiotic
relationship. It's a package deal.
All right, thanks, dude.
All right.
Talk soon.
Thanks, guys.
See ya.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
Big, big, big thanks to our next guest, Mike Kliss. He covers the Broncos for 9 News out in Denver. And, Mike, when you and I met at the owners' meetings, I said to you, it seems like you break every story out in Denver. Certainly the biggest interest, you know, for our audience with Redskins fans is the Case Keenum stuff. But just how long have you been working that Broncos beat, man? Because you got everybody beat out there. You're beating Schefter and Rappaport and the whole world.
Well, I don't know about that. Schefter and Rappaport are pretty good. But you try to get the crumbs here and there. I've been covering it since 2005. I was a baseball writer and covered the Rockies for 12, 13 years, and then the boss asked me to switch to the Bronco beat, and did that, and it's been, I've enjoyed it. I enjoy covering the NFL and the Broncos, and just seems like it matters to more people when you're covering the NFL. I say that even though it's the home opener for the Rockies today, but it's been nice covering the NFL and the Broncos.
I bet. Well, and that means you must have been covering them for the Peyton era and that the two a Super Bowl loss, Super Bowl win, right?
There's been ups and downs. You know, my first year in 05, the Broncos had a heck of a team under Mike Shanahan.
Oh, wow, yeah. And then is that Plummer?
Yeah, Jake Plummer, 2005 team. That's right.
I was oddly at that game. Who'd they beat? They beat somebody at home before I think they lost to the Pats in the AFC Championship game. I'm trying to
They beat the Patriots at home in the playoff
and
game.
And then lost to the Steelers?
Yeah, home loss to the Steelers. And the Steelers were the number six seed, a wild card. And they ran the table. They beat the Colts, who were the number one seed.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And then they beat the Broncos, who were the number two seed, in Denver. And then they went on and won a real ugly Super Bowl 40 against the Seattle Seahawks in Detroit.
So
they started there and went downhill from there, went to Josh McDaniels, which was an unfortunate two-year era. And then John Elway started in 2011 with Tebow. Tebow had the magical 2011 season.
That must have been wild, too.
Oh, man, he won six regular season games in a row. And then after a slump, he beat Pittsburgh in a playoff game. That was crazy. He hit Demaryius Thomas for an 80-yarder on the first play overtime.
I remember that.
The whole town was shaken.
So
and then you had the Peyton era, and the post-Peyton era has not gone very well for the Broncos.
No, it hasn't. My quick story, when that 05 weekend, I went out to visit, this was a long time ago, I was single at the time, and I visited a young lady in Boulder, and I went skiing in Breckenridge, which isn't too far, right?
Right, it's about an hour from where I live.
So that so we're skiing. We come down. I watch. So when the Steelers beat the Colts was a huge deal. And remember, I think Bettis fumbled at the goal line, and Roethlisberger made an incredible tackle to prevent a run back touchdown.
Yeah.
And then the next day, we ended up going to that Broncos Patriots game. We sat in the absolute last row of whatever Mile High is called now, and it was that place was electric. It was such a fun time. Anyway, very cool that you've been there for all that. Sorry, that was just a weird trip down memory lane for me. I wasn't expecting. The point of our call today, besides asking you what it's like covering the Broncos for 10 years, is to talk about Case Keenum. And we talked about him briefly in Arizona. What kind of player are the Redskins getting?
Yeah, I can see why Case Keenum has been the quintessential overachiever and got to the point that he is today where, you know, he had that 11-2 run with the Vikings in 2017. He got the two-year $36 million contract with the Broncos. He got 18 last year. He's going to get 7.5 this year, so he's not going to collect all 36. But he's an overachiever. He's a competitor. He's gritty. He's smart. He's savvy. Pretty good leader. Pretty good leader. Even though he doesn't have he's not a demonstrative type personality. But I think he's just a little short physically. And I'm not just talking about his height, which is 6 foot, a little taller than 6 foot. You know, you're talking about arm strength and mobility, athleticism. He's pretty good in all those things. I think Jay Gruden and his offense, I think he'll marry up to that pretty well. I think if you've got, this sounds really simplistic, but if you have really good players around him, Case isn't going to mess it up. He's going to be a good game manager, and he's going to win for you. He is good enough to get your team to the playoffs if the rest of your team is good. If you have some deficiencies like the Broncos had last year and you're asking Case Keenum to kind of win games for you, he can do it once in a while but not on a consistent basis. He had a couple nice fourth quarter drives last year, game-winning drives. But there are a couple other times where he fell short. There's a reason why he's bounced around, and there's a reason why he's still around. So, I think he'll probably beat out Colt McCoy for the starting job, and be interesting to see what kind of young quarterback the Redskins bring in this year.
For sure. I was going to ask if you thought he'd beat Colt. I think he beats Colt as well, and I love Colt personally, and I think he's a good player, but I think he's best suited in that backup role. For me, if the Skins wanted to start Colt, they wouldn't have traded for Case.
That's right. Yeah.
I think
that's that's what I was seeing on the Broncos when they traded for Flacco. To me, that told me that they weren't going to take a quarterback at number 10 because they looked at that and decided if they wanted a quarterback at number 10, they would have kept Case Keenum and just replaced him halfway through the season.
Right.
But obviously they think Flacco's an upgrade, and we'll see about that. And then maybe they go with a young quarterback in the middle rounds and dip their toe back in that first round for a quarterback next year.
So that was exactly where I wanted to go from this. I think as far as the Keenum trade on the Redskins side of things, it's a pretty much – because the Skins only have to pay him $3.5 million. The draft pick compensation was next to nothing. I think for the Skins, getting Keenum makes a lot of sense. Is there anything I'm missing there? It seemed like the Broncos just had to punt. It's basically a salary dump for Denver because they're taking on the Flacco deal. Am I reading that right?
Yeah, I think the only question anybody would have on Case Keenum would have been waiting till he got released. And, you know, the Broncos owed him $7 million guaranteed, and they would have been able to sign him at the minimum, the Washington. Now, the problem with that is he might not have gone there. He might have gone somewhere else.
Right.
And so they did pay $3.5 million for a guy they could have got for $1 million on the minimum scale. And they gave up a little bit of a draft pick when he probably would have been released. The Broncos, I think, considering they owed him $7 million, the fact that they got the Redskins to pick up $3 million of that, the Redskins saved the Broncos $3 million, I thought was ingenious for Elway also. It was kind of a win-win for both teams. And Keenum ended up with an extra $500,000 too by agreeing to the trade versus had he gone free agent and it would have been an offset type thing. So had the, it's one of those deals. He had $7 million coming. Someone would have signed him for the minimum, and he still, there was offset language, so he would have got paid $6 million by the Broncos and $1 million by Washington doing it the other way. So, he got an extra $500,000. The Broncos saved themselves $3 million, and Washington probably got themselves a starting quarterback for, $3.5 million or $3 million. And like you say, not much of a draft pick. What is it? It added up to...
I think it was a six for a fifth, like a swap.
Yeah, six,
I can look it up.
That's right. They flipped something like that. So that's, not much for a starting quarterback in today's day and age when you consider Aaron Rodgers is getting crucified a little bit, and he's making $32.5 million or whatever it is.
How about Kirk Cousins making $29 million?
Did
you guys think you were going to get Kirk last year, by the way? Did Elway just not want to pay up?
They were in on it. They weren't going the 3-year full guarantee. And okay. That's what he got. He got, actually, I think he got $28 million a year. And it was, but the key there was that all $84 million over 3 years was fully guaranteed. First contract of its kind. And the Jets were going to do that, and the Jets were going to go $90 million, $30 million a year,
right?
And he wound up with the Vikings at $28 million a year. They were the better team, and the Broncos quickly kind of went for who they thought was a better bargain, a better dollar for dollar value in Case Keenum. And then a year later, they wound up deciding you get what you pay for.
Indeed.
And they moved on, and they think Flacco is the guy now.
We'll see about that. As somebody, I don't watch the Ravens that closely, but I see them a good amount. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know that Flacco's the guy, but you know, fresh start can never hurt.
Yeah. So you never know. You know, there's. You know, I looked it up in these second chapter. There's been plenty of second chapter success stories. You know, over the years, guys who you thought were washed up, and then they moved on and they caught lightning again. Probably the best that you know, Manning wasn't washed up, although there was thought he was with that neck injury when he left the Colts.
Right.
Basically, he got fired by the Colts. You know, however you spin it. Kurt Warner was probably the one guy that might fit into the Flacco. He did. I mean, he was awful with the New York Giants.
He couldn't hold on to the ball, remember? He just dropped it. I mean, that dude must have had 20 fumbles.
Yeah, it looked like he had thumb problems. And then they got with Arizona, and he caught it. So I don't know if Flacco's gonna do that, but it wouldn't be unprecedented if he did have success here.
Sure. So I know you got to run, so you don't think the Broncos are looking at QB at 10. Do you think they could be?
Well, I think Elway, who can change his mind quite a bit, I think he's warming up to a quarterback at number 10. We'll see. He went out and had a private workout with Daniel Jones at Duke this week.
Yep.
He's also been checking out the mid-round quarterbacks, Clayton Thorson's, Jarrett Stidman's, Will Greer. He's been checking them out. But he's also checking out the guys for that number 10 overall pick. I still don't think he goes there because of Flacco. I do think they take a quarterback in the mid-rounds. But Drew Lock is coming into town for a visit.
I feel like he's going to love Lock. I just feel like that could be a Flacco guy.
There's a chance there. There's a chance. They have so many other needs here.
Sure.
But, we'll see. Actually, JP, I've been saying the Broncos need to trade back with Washington, and Washington needs to trade up to number 10 to go get their quarterback. What's the rumor there is they're not taking one, right?
Well, I think the problem is that honestly makes a lot of sense to me. So the other question I wanted to ask you, I think the Skins are very much in on Josh Rosen. Do you think?
Yeah, I gotcha.
Do you think Denver is chasing Rosen?
Well, they might. They're gonna dip their toe in. They won't go first round draft pick, and I know Arizona wants a first rounder for him, and they have a right to ask for him because they've already paid him all the money. You know the way these rookie contracts work. Like Rosen. Probably got a $15 million signing bonus last year, and Arizona's already paid that. And then after that, it's close to minimum in the years after. So he's a real value, a number 10 pick a year ago. He's got some experience, even though he took his lumps. He is worth a first-round pick. The question is, I'm not sure anybody's going to do that, look at it that way.
Well, they've killed their leverage, too, because if Rosen's on the market, it's because they got a quarterback, then they can't have two of them. And the conversation of, wait till after the draft, somebody will get hurt, the leverage will go back up. You can't bring both those guys into OTAs. You can't.
The trading window pretty much shuts the last day of the draft.
Totally.
So – yeah, so that's going to be interesting.
As somebody who watched RG3 and Kirk be rookie quarterbacks together, and ultimately that's what, more or less, that's what Rosen and Kyler would be, except much more high profile, it ain't going to work. I do think, and this can be our last thing, I do think there's clearly a good vibe between the Skins and the Broncos on an organization level, because if you look at what the Skins basically – dumped Sua Cravens to Denver, and maybe he becomes a player. He clearly has talent. There's injuries and lots of other things there. And then the Broncos were able to kind of send their stuff back to D.C. with Case Keenum and unload some salary there. It wouldn't shock me if a 15-for-10 swap happens. If the Skins don't end up getting Rosen, the Skins really want Locke. Locke's there at 10. Just on a scale of 1 to 10 – if the Skins and the Broncos were able to swing a draft day trade, 10 being, shocked, 1 being I totally expect it, where would you land?
trades are I wouldn't be shocked. It's still kind of difficult to say you expect it, but I would, in the middle there, 5-6. I don't know. I don't know how to characterize something like that. Yeah. I would not be surprised if the Broncos in Washington, like you say, it looks like Bruce Allen and Matt Russell, Elway's right-hand man, or Elway himself, they have a relationship where they can get deals done. If Rosen isn't there, I would almost expect that type of trade. The only difference might be that Miami at 13 could be in there also.
Yeah.
So, those are some logical trade partners. It makes sense for the Broncos if they don't go quarterback to trade back, because they have about four needs on this team, and they need to get an extra pick. And they probably could use that extra pick to trade back into the first round. Also, two first-round guys. They need a blocker. They need a guard badly. But you don't take a guard at number 10, unless he's Quentin Nelson from last year.
The Skins took one at
so,
five.
Yeah, I know. And then they could use a guard, but trade back in at number 25 to get your guard. That makes a lot of sense. So they could use that extra second-round pick that it would take to, for Washington to move up.
Well, hey, Mike, I really appreciate you taking the time. Everybody should follow you. What's your Twitter handle for the folks here that aren't following you yet?
At Mike Kliss, 1S, KLIS. So there you go. I appreciate it.
Thanks very much. Maybe we'll, once we get through the draft and see how everything shakes out, maybe we'll follow back up, and who knows? Maybe we'll be talking about another Skins-Broncos trade.
Yep, very good.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
All right, man.
Appreciate it, man.
I appreciate it.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.